Hello, welcome to the WDW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by a member of our Royal Court Review, Jen Bachman. Jen, how are you?
I'm good, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you. It's a early morning show. Okay, so hang on. It's not an early morning show. It's like 9 o'clock in the morning for us. So, but funny story, about 3 weeks ago, I had to text Jen for something in the weekend. And it was 9 o'clock or so. And I said, hey, Jen, are you up? And within like 4 seconds, I get a response back saying, hey, bro, I'm not in college anymore. Of course I'm up. So I have to realize it's not up. So anyways, good morning. What's in your cup? I see you drinking. What do you got today?
I've got coffee today and I am drinking it out of my favorite mug. So this is my Kermit mug. Nice. This is second edition. I broke the first and Joe went on a treasure hunt to find it. But I like it because, I don't know, you guys obviously can't see it, but it's green and it's got eyeballs on it. And so I have the option of holding it by the handle, but you could also like kind of hold it by the eyeballs for
an
alternate way of sipping.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I'm working on something called, it's called Black Granite Espresso Style from Green Mountain Roasters.
Yeah.
Because you know what I really need in my life? I need darker coffee and lots of it before 9 o'clock, which has been the pattern. As I realized yesterday, I had 4 cups prior to eating breakfast, and I said, I'm getting into dangerous territory.
Yeah, so, you might want to scale that back a little bit.
I might want to dial that back. Anyways, so Jen's on today because she just took an interesting trip, a work trip, but she cut away for a little bit to Disneyland. And we were discussing some of the differences and similarities between Walt Disney World and Disneyland. And some of the things that she was talking about was like, oh my, I never thought of it that way. So I wanted to get this on the air because trips to Disneyland, if you're a Walt Disney World veteran or if you're a Walt Disney World, let's say, loyalist, you really need to make that trip out to California because it's a completely different experience. So many similarities, so many bizarro world feelings, as we were talking about, as you walk down Main Street and you all of a sudden you think you're going to go left and you're going to walk right into, oh, wait a minute. That's not there. And you go right and you're going to go right into, wait a minute, what is the astro orbiter doing right there? And there's so many cool things that make you feel like you're with family, but they're family you haven't seen for a long time. So you're not quite sure how to react. So that's what we're going to do today. But besides too much coffee, what's good in your life?
So besides too much coffee, I am getting ready to celebrate our 16th wedding anniversary. So Joe and I will have been married 16 years on February 17th. And in honor of that celebration, like all married couples do, we are taking our kids to Disney World for the weekend and meeting up with some friends down there from the EDCOT community and spending a few days at the beach club, which is a new resort for us.
Nice. Of course, once you get to the point where the kids, it doesn't become you anymore, right? If you're hard pressed just to go out for dinner together, right? So,
yeah.
Okay. That's exciting. Tell me about this now. So when did you meet Joe? Was it in college? Was it after college?
It was in college.
Tell me the backstory.
Yeah. So I was actually 17 when I met Joe, and I met him my freshman year of college. So we lived in the same dorm. And he was a junior and I was a freshman. And we did not date at that time, but we were friends and we have pretty much the same friend group. And we used to hang out all the time. And then I moved back to New York for a few years and wound up coming back to Nashville. And when I did, I was calling friends that I had down here and trying to figure out some plans for a Friday night. And I happened to call him and he invited me to a party, which I did not know at the time, was an engagement party for people I don't know or didn't know. So I showed up at this party and we've kind of been together ever since. So that's how that went down, Chris.
That must have been a real awkward moment as you walk into an engagement party with a person that you're not really even dating. You're just there, right? So,
well, what's funny about it is a lot of our friends were like, hey, you know, like, let's do something Saturday. We have this engagement party Friday. Right. And then I called Joe and he was like, I'm going to this party. You should come. And he missed that part where it was an engagement party for people I didn't know. Oh. But I will say, you know, being everyone was still in college, it was basically a party with just some celebratory overtones.
Joe may have been the smartest guy on the planet. He completely undersold the fact that it was an engagement party, committed you with the word party, got you out, and then, right?
But I don't want you to think this was like a classy event. It was not.
That's hysterical. And you told me something earlier, too. You're also training for a race. Is that correct?
I am. Probably not as much as I should be. But I am going to be doing the Springtime Surprise Challenge in April. So the 5K, which I'm not worried about that. The 10K, which I think I have. And then the 10 miler. And that's the one I'm a little bit nervous about. I did the Princess Half in 2020. And then abruptly just stopped running. But in my mind, since I've done that, I am capable. So we'll see what happens.
I remember seeing posts of your face with the old thumbs up, and I haven't seen one for quite some time, you know?
Yes.
So I remember seeing that you started that.
I need to work
on it. I'd like to remind you, like I remind all runners, that I could literally pay for an Uber or drive you from start to finish. The whole running process is completely overrated, and honestly, it's probably not very good. So I could literally get you to the finish line without even worrying about the running. So just put that in the back of your mind.
I will remember that.
Gotcha. All right, let's get into the show. You good with that?
I'm good. Let's do it.
Give me some details. First off, this was a work trip. Is that correct?
It was. So we actually, I was out there with a few coworkers, and one of my coworkers, Katie, and I decided we had a couple of other locations to see in California. So we did a conference in Palo Alto, but we're fun people. So on our travel day, we spent some time in San Francisco and explored that a little bit. We did our conference. We took care of business. And then we have a site down in Valencia, California. So we flew down there and had some meetings there. And it was kind of like, well, we're already in Southern California. So it's the weekend. Let's make Disneyland happen. So that's how this came to be.
Okay. And so how long was the entirety of the business trip?
So it was Monday through Thursday, and Thursday night we got to Anaheim.
Okay. And then you spent how long at the Disneyland complex itself?
Yeah. So we showed up there on Friday morning, and we had a room at the Disneyland Hotel. So we had them store our bags for us, and then we just got to it. So we were up like super early Friday morning, dropped our bags off, and hit the parks. Wanted to get started.
Okay, let me ad lib here for 1 second, because if you've not been to Disneyland, you've heard us talk about Disneyland before, but you think of the Disneyland complex as if it's all really close by. And in truth, it is in similar proximity, but it's not really close by, so to speak. It's not along the lines of Bay Lake Tower to Magic Kingdom, but where the Disneyland Hotel is located, where Paradise Pier is located, where the Grand Californian is located, you have a little bit of a walk to get to a promenade, which splits left for Disneyland and right for California Adventure, unless you're in Grand Californian, which has kind of this weird entrance capability too in the back of the park. But from the walk from the Disneyland Hotel, you have to pass through their downtown Disney, which isn't necessarily easy strolling. You have to pass through a security area. They still doing bag checks, Jen? Is that correct?
Yeah, they are. And they do not have the technology they have at Disney World. So it is full bag check.
Then there's probably a good, I would say, in terms of like a city block, are we talking maybe 2 city blocks, 3 city blocks to get from that point to the actual park entrance? Would you think that's fair?
I would say 2 to 3 is fair. I mean, it felt longer because it was so early. We actually first tried to, so there's a monorail stop. It's not in the Disneyland Hotel. So a lot of people say, oh, you could take the monorail right from the Disneyland Hotel. That is a lie. But it is, I would say, a couple hundred yards from the Disneyland Hotel. You still have to go through the bag check as you would to enter downtown Disney if you were walking. But that monorail stop would drop you directly into the park in Tomorrowland. However, we were bamboozled by a security guard who started to tell us, hey, you know, this is really an attraction. It's not a mode of transportation. So we can't guarantee this is going to open before the park does. It might be later. You guys should probably just walk. And not being fully caffeinated, we decided to walk instead, which I immediately regretted because by the time we made the walk, there were pretty healthy lines at the turnstiles, and then we saw the monorail go up over our heads. So don't be like me, guys.
Oh, Jen, that's such a terrible mistake. And I
I
made that
know.
mistake. I've made that mistake as you
But
said. Go ahead,
he
tell me.
convinced
I'm
us.
sorry, because like I
Like
think of the long
he
lines you were in. Oh
I
no.
know, but I was like, oh, he must know what he's talking about. But I was we were persuaded by another cast member for another experience, and that one worked out well. So I'll redeem
Okay.
myself later on.
Okay, there's a good tip. So in our comparison show, always take that monorail station. It's just outside by, it literally is just past the security entrance to the left side of
Yeah.
Downtown Disney. And it lets you right off by the Autopia inside the park. And you're like, yeah, but that line looks a little long up the stairs. Trust me, it's nothing like the line you're going to see in the promenade at the park's main entrance, you know?
Yes.
So, okay. So you're there, you got a couple days, you're staying at the Disneyland Hotel, you're wearing your monocle because that's expensive. Right? You know, like I know, yeah, exactly. You didn't go cheap like me staying at the Best Western Stovall's Inn right there on Catella Boulevard, but we're gonna get past that. There is a monorail that goes through the Grand Californian, but there is no actual stop in the Grand Californian or Paradise Pier as well for the monorail.
Right.
So don't be misled by thinking there is a monorail in any of the resorts. There is not, other than the monorail by the pool, which is nothing more than a facade for the water slide,
Yes,
you
it's
know?
funny you say that though, because my friend Katie was like, "Oh, there's the monorail." And I'm like, "No,
No.
that's the pool."
That's a slide. Go on, go down. All right. Is she a park veteran? She been there before?
She's not. So that was actually her first time in California. And she has been to Disney World, but not in many, many years. So she has a 3-year-old, and this was kind of her test run to get the lay of the land before she takes her daughter.
Okay, so she's for all intents and purposes like a newbie, right?
Oh, yeah.
She had no preordained idea of what to expect from any of this. Okay, good
Just
thing.
that I'm a little crazy. Like, I
I was going to
did
say,
warn
good thing she's
her.
got you, who's a maniac, to go and guide her around very carefully and softly around the park the first day. Okay.
Yes, I did have to stop at one point and be like, "Do you want me to do like my whole tour thing?" Like, because I noticed I'm starting to point out like Walt's office above the fire station. And I'm like, I should just check and see what level she wants of this.
As you start dressed for the day, but as you go along, all of a sudden you're starting to wear this tartan plaid,
Yeah,
this
it just
self
kind of appears.
vest. Okay. 2 days at the parks. Did you have individual tickets, park hoppers? What is that?
We did. We had 2-day park hoppers, so we were able to move back and forth. So here's one thing that's different. So at Disneyland, it's 1 p.m. where you are able to park hop, whereas at Disney World, it's still 2 p.m. So we started our first day in Disneyland Park, and then the second day we started in California Adventure.
And you had crossover on both days, correct?
Yes. Yep.
Okay,
And it's
so.
so much easier there. Especially for first timers going to Disney World, nobody understands really until you see it how large it is. Like it's like twice the size of Manhattan. And when people find that out, it's like mind blown, right? Because they think, "Oh, I can go from Magic Kingdom to this restaurant in Animal Kingdom and be there in 15 minutes." Disneyland, you can go back and forth like that to the two parks, but Disney World is just a lot more time with transportation.
Correct. It's not necessarily even the size of the parks. Magic Kingdom is larger, but the space between the resorts, the space between the parks. Whereas here, Disneyland and California Adventure, the park entrances, they face each other. And they're across the promenade, which is maybe from turnstile to turnstile, maybe 300 yards, and they literally
Yeah.
face each other. So the possibility of going back and forth is much easier. Or if you wanted to get food, say you had a place like Ralph Brennan's that you really wanted to go to, and Downtown Disney, you could potentially leave the parks to go and grab a bite to eat to come on back, like you would maybe at the Grand Floridian Cafe, you know, or something like that. You could do that as well. So, all right. So Disneyland, first thing. What? Tell me about the day. your experiences and your and what you noticed that was similar but yet bizarre world different.
Yeah, I mean, I think just and I've noticed this when I've been there previously. Those people who have been to Disney World several times, you start to get the lay of the land, and Disneyland is most comparable to Magic Kingdom. But it's like Magic Kingdom and a Freaky Friday world with parts of Hollywood Studios thrown in. So we did arrive early so we could take advantage of the extra time they open for on-site guests. And during that time, just a few of the lands are open. So we headed into Tomorrowland first. And before I say that, though, the castle, we got to talk about the castle, Chris. So if you're used to and expecting the castle to be comparable to that of Magic Kingdom, you may laugh when you see the Disneyland castle, because Sleeping Beauty's castle is, it's just so tiny. It's cute, but it's so tiny.
Now, it's quaint. It's charming, right? It's charming and it's adorable. But if you're looking for the impressive nature, is what you're saying, yeah. You look at it and you're like, that is not the picture that I'm imagining in my mind. You know, it looks like a facade of an attraction almost in a way, right? Yeah. As opposed to being the centerpiece.
Well, do you remember like Super Mario Brothers when you'd like get to the first castle in like level 1-3 or whatever it is? That's what it is for me, right? Like it's like, wah, wah.
There you go. But I will say that the Sleeping Beauty attraction inside the castle is absolutely adorable. It's wonderful. Yes. Don't you agree with that?
I think I do. And I think a lot of people miss it. So it's a walkthrough attraction. Mm-hmm. And it tells the story of Sleeping Beauty. And it is worth the, I don't even know that it would take you 10 minutes to go through. So it is worth the time to check out.
Okay. Yes. So we're going to Tomorrowland first. So you go to the hub and you turn right, essentially, at this point, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
So we were following a touring plan that I had put together. You know, I always have to strategize. I know people, I'm not going to name names, that just kind of show up and see what happens. That's just not how I roll, Chris. Here was another big difference. We did decide to do Genie Plus, but it was a little different in how it worked. So in Disneyland, you cannot purchase Genie Plus until you are in the park. So whereas Disney World, 7 a.m., no matter where you are, you get on. Well, you could buy it before 7 a.m. actually, but you're good to go. You buy it. And then at 7 a.m., you make your first selection. Disneyland is not that way. So like as soon as I'm through those turnstiles, I'm on my phone buying Genie Plus and then booking our first attraction. So what my strategy was to book Star Tours, then hop on Space Mountain, and then do, it's the version of the Buzz Ride that is, actually, I'm going to say their version of the Buzz Ride is better because the guns move and you can get better range. So their ride is better, although I still suck at it.
Hang on, let me pause you for a second. What is Katie thinking about this already? Because like at this point, she's probably she's wondering. Okay. I was like, she's like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? This woman's buying this thing and she's gone maniac, you know, and whatnot at this point.
She was very much like, hey, I'm down for whatever you got. I'm just following you. And, you know, I love traveling with people that aren't in the parks all the time. Because they're like, you get to see the magic and the, oh my gosh, look at this, that for those people that are in the parks regularly, you like, we just walk by things because we've seen it, right? We don't take the time to appreciate it. So it was really fun actually being with someone who it was a brand new experience for them, but she was great. She was ride or die all the way. So we did a number of attractions pretty quickly there. But of course, Murphy's Law, right? Star Tours was down when it was our return time. So I very quickly had to deviate from my regimented plan, which was fine. I think Disneyland is probably a little bit easier to do that with because everything is more compact. So you can get around more quickly. One thing, though, I was not prepared for was there are some rides that are not eligible for Genie Plus at Disneyland that are in the Magic Kingdom. And so a great example of that is Pirates. So I wasn't prioritizing Pirates by any means because I'm like, oh, we'll grab a Genie for that later. No Genie for Pirates. It's not on the list. So I think, while Disneyland is in a lot of ways easier to navigate and do a lot more very quickly, it does get crowded as you would expect. And then you've kind of churned through all of your Genie options quicker in the day or earlier in the day if you're moving at a good clip.
I'm still stuck on the fact that Star Tours is the attraction that broke down. Like the least technologically advanced attraction in Disneyland is the one that breaks
Yes, it's the
down.
one
It's
that breaks
literally a
down.
motion, right? It's a motion simulator. What was wrong there?
And I don't even really like Star Tours, if I'm being honest. I have to close my eyes when you're jumping from galaxy to galaxy because I get motion sick. But I was trying to give her the full experience.
You started her off in kind of a wicked fashion.
I think, to a degree, she didn't know what she didn't know. But I had checked with her and made sure she was okay with all kinds of rides. So she had an idea of what to expect. I hate to tell you this, Chris, but as soon as we left Tomorrowland, I did take her on the Matterhorn. So there was no relief in sight.
Holy cow, you beat this poor woman up.
I
Okay.
did. I did.
Oh, okay. So give me like her impressions. I want to see it through her eyes. What were things, at least early in the day, that she said, "I never expected it to be so cool," or "Let's not do that ever again." Give me
Yeah.
some things from her.
I actually think that came a little later. So there, the Splash Mountain at Disneyland is still open. And I obviously wanted to ride that. And I explained to her, like, this is going to be changing. They're going to redeem it. So let's get on here. We did that probably about lunchtime. We made our way over there. She looked at me at the point where the log ride goes into the mountain itself. And you
Okay.
start to see all of the characters in there. And she turned around in the seat, which the seats are different than they are at the Splash Mountain in Disney World. So you're sitting in like that traditional log flume one by one there. But she turned around and her eyes were really big. And she said, Jen, this is like a fever dream. And she said, is this supposed to be this horrifying? And I just laughed because it's again, like we're all used to it by going to the parks regularly. And I don't think of it that way, but I started to see like through her eyes, like, yeah, this is really messed up now that you bring it up. And then, the next day, I did this on purpose. So I was like, if you think that was bad, here we go. And I took
Hang
her
on,
on
wait.
both. Oh, go ahead.
Wait, the poo attraction with the woozles. Is that where you're gonna go with this?
No, actually
Oh my gosh.
we didn't do that. That would have been good too. But
Okay.
what I think are probably the most horrifying and confusing attractions left in Disneyland. So we did Pinocchio
Okay.
and then we did Mr. Toad's. And she like her description of Mr. Toad's was amazing. She's like, I don't understand. This is this frog, and then we wind up in hell. Like, what is happening here? And when we got off that, when we got off Pinocchio, she was looking around. She said, this isn't for children. I don't understand why there aren't more kids out here crying. So
Was it Jimi Hendrix, an Imagineer? What's going
I
on
mean,
here?
this was, and they are older attractions and they are definitely more terrifying than anything Disney's probably put out in the last 30 years, I'll say that. So,
Have you
I get it.
seen Wind in the Willows, Jen? Have you seen the actual,
I have, but not for years and years.
Okay. I challenge myself, and I'll challenge everyone who's listening to watch it on Disney Plus. And it's a split film. They have that and the Ichabod Crane, and it's kind of like they spend 30 minutes on each story. It's completely charming, and it makes the story so much more redeeming. I had gone on Mr. Toad, I don't know, a handful of times without actually watching the animated film. And once I watched it literally endeared itself to me. I loved it. And now I completely get Mr. Toad, but it is wild. It is something from another world when you're on it. You're like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
This is weird.
And each room you entered, she had the best commentary. And it was like, wait, now we're in jail. Wait, now we're in hell. What's happening? I think to answer your question, Chris, that was the most shocking experience. Just some of the storylines and animatronics of the rides that we were on versus, you know, the level of hardcore touring I put her through.
Okay. What else do you have as far as Disneyland? Give me some similarities and give me some big differences that you noticed.
Yeah. So similarities, I think, you know, by and large, it's similar in how it is set up. There are differences in the rides themselves where there are versions on both coasts. One thing I love is Small World in Disneyland. So you actually start outside the ride in Disneyland, and it's got this beautiful facade, which we wound up standing in front of. It's a viewing location for their fireworks. So whereas in Disney World or Magic Kingdom, you pretty much want to stand in the hub or down Main Street to view the fireworks. But Disneyland has a few different viewing locations where they do the projections prior to and during the show. And Small World is one of those. So you don't get the greatest view of the fireworks, but you can still see them, and it is much less crowded. And then Small World itself in Disneyland, one thing I love that they did is they have incorporated characters in the ride. So it's kind of fun to ride through the different rooms and say like, oh, there's Stitch, or oh, there's, you know, Woody and Jessie, where the version in Magic Kingdom is just the dolls, right? And not a lot of Disney IP included in there.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like restaurant availability was a little bit easier in Disneyland. We wound up joining a wait list for Carnation Cafe, because after all those thrill rides that first day, we were hungry and we needed some food. We needed to sit. And it's only 40 minutes. We were a party of two. We got called within 3 minutes. I got the text, hey, come down here. So it seemed a little bit easier. And I think your mileage could vary there, but it seemed a little bit easier to get in and grab food than it is typically at Disney World. But while I'm on the topic of food, and I know I texted you about this, so I need to talk about it because I'm very passionate about this. So I, at times, have the palate of a small child, and I enjoy Disney World chicken tenders, chicken fingers, chicken nuggets, all of those. And I was very surprised that nowhere in Disneyland or California Adventure could I find honey mustard. It is barbecue sauce and ranch only. So BYOHM if you go to Disneyland.
Did you just tell people to bring your own honey mustard into the parks? Is that a tip that we offer in all the dubs, is bring your own honey mustard?
You gotta prepare. Like, my kids do not like to eat chicken without honey mustard. I don't understand why they offer this.
Okay. So let's go back to Carnation Cafe for a second. I do love the fact that they were able to seat you within a few minutes.
Yeah.
And it is a really cool experience. But another good tip, if I could improvise, is to make sure you do sit down, like you said, mm-hmm. because when you're there, you are usually on a limited time scale. I mean, even if you're there all day, you're trying to get in as much in as you can, because you may not be spending 7 days. You're probably not spending 7 days at Disneyland like you might at Walt Disney World, going to each park once or twice and taking a little different approach. It's like, I'm in, I'm working as hard as I can. I'm really tired. I'm getting hangry. So make sure you do find a spot to sit down. That would be my recommendation, as opposed to we're just going to quick something, get something, grab and go. It's a little different experience there. What'd you order and what did she order at Carnation Cafe?
So we both did Mickey waffles. And I will tell you, with it being a table service, I expected for breakfast, you know, maybe we spend an hour there. Chris, that food was so quick. We probably got our order in within 2 minutes and our food came out 5 minutes later. So it did not take up a big chunk of our day whatsoever. I mean, we were there, I don't even know that we were there 30, 35 minutes. So it was in and out, but it was the rest we needed.
Mm-hmm. They got that, it, They got the table turned quick on you, huh, Jen? Wow, for the next person. Yeah,
they did.
Yeah, okay.
But that's okay. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't super pricey. I think with tip, and we both had drinks and stuff, it came to $40, which, you know, for Disney World or Disneyland prices isn't terrible.
Okay. Give me some other differences, if you don't mind, mm-hmm. either in Adventureland or Critter Country, or give me some other differences.
Well, Critter Country itself does not exist in Disney World. So you expect, if you're a Disney World veteran, you expect to find Splash Mountain in Frontierland. But that is not what happens. So you're a little disoriented. And similarly, Pirates is not in Adventureland in Disneyland. So that's where we talk about, you know, it's the same, but it's different. It's kind of a weird version. So Critter Country is adorable, but it is pretty much Splash Mountain and the Winnie the Pooh attraction there. And then there's some dining options. So you know, we didn't wind up doing Winnie the Pooh. I think we were headed back there and something else popped up. But I've talked about the fever dream that is Splash Mountain. We did do Pirates, though. We did decide to wait. And that is more of an antebellum-style building. And it's located in New Orleans Square in Disneyland. And what's confusing about that to me is I live in the South, and I don't think about Pirates necessarily being in a bayou. But they are at Disneyland. So there's a lot of scenes leading into Pirates there that you don't get to experience in the Disney World version. And I would say, even though I think the bayou is a weird place to have the Pirates located, you do get a better experience and it tells a better story and a more complete story overall.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Is a Journey to Galaxy's Edge on the docket here, or are we just jumping from this point over, or how do we finish the experience at Disneyland for day one?
Yeah, so we did jump around in the afternoon. So for Galaxy's Edge, we did walk through. We rode Millennium Falcon. The wait time for Rise of the Resistance was very healthy, too much for what we wanted to be standing in line for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it was a little disappointing for me. I'm not opposed to, if it makes sense, paying for the individual lightning lanes. But both days we were there, the individual lightning lane for Rise of the Resistance was $25 a person, which we couldn't justify doing that. Mm-hmm. But we did Galaxy's Edge. And we had a great time on the Millennium Falcon. So we were there with a few other women who... We were just laughing the whole time because we were all terrible at piloting and shooting, but it was a good time.
Okay. Did you get any pictures together? Like photo pass pictures?
We did.
Sometimes they'll pose you like in weird situations and whatnot. Did you get any pictures together?
We did. So that's a difference too, I'll call out. So you get photo pass included with the Genie Plus at Disneyland. Okay. And it's not the dynamic pricing. It's as of now, it's $25 a day for the Disneyland Genie Plus, and it includes your photo pass. So actually this happened, I'll have a little story here for you, Chris. On day two, we were about to leave, like it's our last few moments in the park, and we realized we hadn't really taken castle pictures. So we got in line, and as we were approaching the photographer, he said, "Are you sisters?" And we said, "No, we work together and we're friends." And he said, "Oh, girlfriends." And we thought he meant that like as in a friend that's a girl. But we very quickly realized during this little photo session that he thought we were a couple. And so we have some pictures where you can tell the moment we're realizing that this is happening because we're just laughing. And so I have lots of pictures with my friend Katie, where we're holding hands. He was requesting we put our cheeks like very close together, and she's significantly shorter than I am. So you have her saying, "I can't reach her cheek," and me saying, "But we're not together." So We have a whole series of photos that our husbands both think are really funny. And they both, their comment was, well, you guys are a cute couple. So yeah, our boss is also very amused by these photos.
So we have these series of photos, and at one point he's telling us to put our cheeks side by side, which I know is a specific couple pose because it's been done to Joe and I. And she's saying, I'm not tall enough to reach your cheek. And I'm saying, but wait, we're not a couple. Like, we're not together together. And we're laughing the whole time. So we have this whole series of photos our husbands just are very amused by. We've told our boss this story, and I'm sure they'll wind up somewhere in a sales meeting we have in the future.
Nice. Go with it, right? What are you going to do?
I mean,
okay, very good.
We just leaned into it at some point. Like, he really meant that he was going to take romantic shots of us. And we just reached the point where we didn't want him to deprive him of this pleasantry.
Very good. I appreciate you just going with the moment. That's nice. All right. Take me to California Adventure. Give me some differences at California Adventure.
Yeah. So, I mean, California Adventure is, I think it's now in its own and has found its identity, and it's a fun time. I love that park. It's easy to navigate. I would argue Cars Land is probably the best themed land in the U.S. Disney parks. So we had a great time over there. One thing we were able to do actually on our first day was, and this, you would never find this at Disney World, I don't think, but we were looking at different dining reservations in the app, and it popped up there were still space available for the World of Color dessert party. So World of Color is their nighttime show in California Adventure. They do not have a traditional fireworks show over there. So we were able to join in the dessert party and had pretty good seats for that. I will tell you one thing we were not expecting there is if you are less than a group of four, they will usually couple you up with other people at your table. So we got lucky. We were seated with a lovely couple and had a great conversation, and actually talked about the show a little bit. So I hope that they are listening and will become listeners. So we had a great experience overall, but I think depending on who you are seated with may impact your experience. So just kind of a word of caution there.
Was there additional cost for that, Jen?
There was. I think it worked out to, it was about $70 a person. We didn't really do a sit-down dinner that night. We just kind of snacked. So we justified it as, you know, we'll get a viewing experience for this. It came with two alcoholic drinks, and then you get a plate that has all kinds of desserts and cheese on it. So I was, you know, Chris, you know me, I'm there for the cheese.
Of course. Of course. Okay. What did she think about Disney's California Adventure? And just going back for one second, I'm not sure much argument can be made about Cars Land. I agree with you. And I like Galaxy's Edge, but as far as Cars Land goes, I think from top to bottom, including really cool attractions and theming, I think it is the leader in all of the American-based parks as far as theming goes.
Mm-hmm. It's just so well done. And I didn't talk about this yet, but you know, the characters, Mater and Lightning McQueen, drive throughout the day. And that's, to me, that's a huge difference between the parks that's not talked about as much, is the character interaction is completely different. If you are at the Florida parks and want to meet a character, you are queuing to do that. Whereas in Disneyland, they are roaming. And, you know, the benefit of that is you get to see them in unexpected ways. You're not necessarily lining up. The disadvantage there is sometimes, I mean, they're not slowing down all the time. So sometimes a little group will gather and you want to take a picture and they're moving. So pros and cons, but, you know, Katie, as I mentioned, she has a 3-year-old and we were talking about where she should bring her daughter because she wants to take her. And I think an argument can be made for Disneyland that it, for younger kids, for first visits, it may be, if you're not spending a ton of time, it may be a strong contender for the better park for first visits, if you're willing to, you know, fly to California to do it. I've got some video of Peter Pan dancing. There was a band playing and Peter Pan was just out there dancing for 10 minutes with whatever kid or adult, right? They don't discriminate. He was just dancing with whoever wanted to dance with him. And you don't see things like that happen as organically in Disney World. So that's a huge difference that I really enjoyed and appreciated.
But we found when we were there, though, it's more of a crapshoot in terms of who you get to as well. There's not as much consistency. They may have, it could be one of these four or five characters in the Marvel Avengers campus, but we're not quite sure, you know, so take a look.
Yeah.
So
we have that too. And we were there for Chinese New Year or Lunar New Year celebration, I should say. And they had a group of characters that were meeting as part of that. And we got online and it was like, it could be Mickey and Minnie. It could be Pluto. It could be Mushu. Or it could be Oswald. And we were seeing people that were hardcore about this. They would spread their family out throughout the line because the character would change about every 10 minutes. And so what they would do is, you know, if they didn't necessarily want the picture with Pluto, they would then jump back to their next family member online and hope to get a pic. Yeah, they were intense about it. We wound up with Mushu. I had never met Mushu, so that was fine. But you know, and that's one thing I'll say too about California Adventure. They do a great job in intentionally celebrating different cultures. So the Lunar New Year celebration was fantastic. They did a show prior to World of Color that was great. They had a Lunar New Year parade we got to see, and it was just beautiful to see, you know, the dragons they brought through and the dancers and the characters that we got to see. It's the Year of the Rabbit. So Oswald was on a special float for that. So celebrating him for Year of the Rabbit. And they had a really sweet opportunity to write down your Lunar New Year wish. And then you can hang it. They had these just huge chains of the little cards people had written with their wishes. And so I love the little touches like that, that you don't necessarily see in the Florida parks, but that you get out there.
Jen, we were there once for the Festival of the Holidays. And I noticed that as well, too. I'm not sure if it's because the larger cultural combinations in California, but I noticed that as well, too. I was like, that's some really authentic, or at least what felt like authentic, like food options and like culturally significant between like some of the Hispanic options and some of the Asian options. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. I don't think I would see the depth of that over in Florida.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I've been there during Halloween season, and they've done some other cultural things during that time as well that I felt the same way about. So I love California Adventure for a lot of reasons. It's an easy park to navigate. If you are moving at a clip, you can hit every ride in that park in one day, no problem. But you can also spend a lot of time taking in the sights and enjoying all the extra things if you want to. And Chris, we got to be first family, and this is my first time being first family, but we were chosen as first family for California Adventure that day.
Okay, describe that, because when I saw the picture, I wanted to joke, your first family, but without the
family. But without my family, right?
Yeah, exactly. First person. So describe what that means.
Yeah, so we were actually walking into the park, and we were still there like a few minutes before it officially opened to everybody, but we hadn't gotten there as early as I had tried to. And a gentleman in a conductor outfit asked us, hey, where are you guys headed? And I said, well, we're going to go try to go to Cars Land and jump on Radiator Springs. And he said, oh, you don't want to do that. And I thought I was being bamboozled again, like the monorail guy, right? So I was like, I don't know. And he was like, trust me, come back here in about 5 minutes. We'll make some magic happen for you. So I'm like, okay, we'll see what's up. So we kind of hung out in that area and walked back over in a few minutes. And he said, okay, well, thanks for coming back. Thanks for trusting me. You are our first family of the day. And so we got to ride down their little pathways on the trolley. We were the first trolley ride of the day. It was just us and the conductor. And he was giving us the history of the park and giving us all kinds of tips. And then we made a stop at the animation building and we had a cast member hop on and join us. And he presented us with a little sign that said first family of the day. And then in a folder, there were some sketches that some individuals or cast members that work at the animation facility had drawn. So we had a sketch of Winnie the Pooh, one of Pluto, and one of Baby Yoda. And then we went back to Avengers Campus and he said, okay, well, would you guys rather ride Guardians of the Galaxy or Web Slingers? And we said, we chose Web Slingers because it was really early and we didn't know if we could do Guardians that early. Mm-hmm. So we chose Web Slingers, which is an amazing ride. It was my first time riding it this trip and I absolutely loved it. And we were walked onto the ride as if we were like VIP tour guests. So, you know, we said, should we wait in the standby line? And they said, oh no, you're our first family. We're going to walk you back. So it was just a little bit of an extra surprise and a cool experience. And I'm glad, even though we're not an official family, Katie and I got to see that.
That's first off, it's a few things. So I could just imagine him saying, okay, please bring you and your spouse back. And you're like, here we go again. Okay, here we go again. But you know that Web Slingers is a really cool attraction. It is the newest. It's the headliner of Avengers Campus. Though I would say that I did enjoy Guardians a little more because Web Slingers is a physically exhausting attraction as you're moving your hands and arms and you're trying to shoot,
it is.
You know, webs. So like it's tiring, but really cool. That's a really cool touch. I hadn't heard that before. And I certainly didn't hear about like the added benefit of the sketches and like being treated like a VIP. So really cool experience. Yeah. I'm glad you did go back because you could never reproduce that.
I feel like I redeemed myself. Like I got tricked by the monorail guy, but then I trusted again and it was worth it.
Did you hit Guardians right afterwards?
We did not. We rode it later that day. We needed some breakfast. So we stopped right there on Avengers Campus. There's a spot to grab breakfast.
Was that breakfast at Pim's Test Kitchen, Jen?
It was actually. And it was okay. It was not my favorite breakfast I've had at a Disney park. I think they are very liberal with the use of the phrase test kitchen. We had like a French toast kids meal, both of us. And I mean, it was edible, but I wouldn't go back just for breakfast. They do though, I will say, have good adult beverages that they serve in like beaker type cups. So it's worth the stop for those, but maybe not the best place to eat breakfast there in the park.
They have a pretty good selection of vegetarian products at Pim's Test Kitchen. Yeah. And they have like 5 or 6 different local brews on draft as well too there. So if that's something important to you, that's where to head up.
It's, nice.
It's right outside there.
Okay. Nice. I think actually
move us forward.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I apologize. I was going to say, tell us more about that day. And like, I'm really interested in hearing her perspective because overall, when you look at those two parks, you know, everyone's natural attraction is to hit the Disneyland. And like you said, I think California Adventure has come into its own and it's kind of grown. But I find that I enjoy myself more at California Adventure because it combines more thrilling attractions as well as theming than Disneyland's. It seems like their thrilling attractions just aren't quite on the same level as California Adventure. What did Katie think?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think she would as well, because we started moving into California Adventure when we park hopped that first day. And after the first few attractions we did over there, she was like, okay, what's your top 2 things we've done today? And when I asked her, it was stuff we had both just done in California Adventure. So, you know, definitely not a park to be skipped. And I love the flexibility of the park hopper there because you can move back and forth pretty easily. But California Adventure is just, it's a great experience. The theming's over the top. I think there's something for everyone. And just a lot of fun, Chris. One of the best meals I'll say that I think we had too. You mentioned earlier, you can get into California Adventure from the Grand Californian. And so the opposite is true as well. And we were looking for a place to eat and we needed a break. So we wound up just popping right directly into the Grand Californian from, you can just exit out the park into that special entrance. And We wound up dining at one of their indoor lounges in the hotel. And the food was excellent and there was no wait. There were plenty of tables and it was just really comfortable. So it's one of those things where, yes, it wasn't technically in the park, but we got there probably quicker than we would have gotten to different areas in the park, depending where we were.
Okay. I want to actually ask you before we stop, I want to ask you about the Disneyland Hotel, but like describe your experience for 2 days at the Disneyland Resort in California Adventure. Describe it in 3 words and then tell me, like, give me some final thoughts Katie had on that as well.
Okay. So 3 words. I mean, definitely fun. We had the best time. I would say it was magical. And that's really, I talked about when you go with people that aren't used to the theming and how over the top Disney is. And when you take a moment to appreciate all those magical touches. So I think there were certainly elements of that. I'm also going to say it was a little exhausting. We were coming off some long days on our work trip. And, you know, the park opened at 7:30 and they closed at midnight. So we had some long days.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Yeah. I didn't realize it was that long. You're looking at some 15-hour days right there. What was your step count?
So the first day we were in the parks, I did over 15 miles. And I mean, that was healthy.
Holy cow.
So I didn't feel too bad about anything I ate because the 15 miles, I think probably just, they canceled out calories, right?
Oh yeah. 100%. What did Katie think after the 2 days?
She absolutely loved it. We had a really sweet moment where her daughter being 3, you know, is full into Minnie Mouse right now. And so we made it our mission to meet Minnie Mouse. And she actually had her daughter on FaceTime while she did that. So I held the phone and her daughter's name is Mackenzie and they call her Mac. And, you know, she had been talking to her while we were waiting to meet Minnie. And that's one of the characters they do typically form a little bit of a queue for. So, you know, I took the phone and I said, all right, Mac, your mom's about to meet her. And her face just lit up and she was so excited. And then, you know, was asking Katie to send her pictures of Minnie Mouse. And she said to her, wait, you mean like Minnie Mouse is real and you can hug her? So even though Mac wasn't there with us, just seeing how excited she got was super sweet. And I think for Katie, you know, we spent some time in the airport the next day talking about like, okay, when should I take Mac and what's the best time of year and how many days should I stay? So she was really excited for that. Again, still very traumatized by Pinocchio and Splash Mountain and Mr. Toad. But Outside of that, just had a really great experience. And I think it went smoother than she anticipated. You hear a lot about waiting in lines and, you know, just some people don't have great experiences. And that wasn't ours, luckily. So I think overall was really positive.
Okay. That sounds like a really positive experience because that first time experience again, and she's a newbie for all intents and purposes, it can go one of two ways. It could either go and encourage you to have many more or that's it. That was a one and done because that's too much. It's just too much.
Yes. I think she's drunk the Kool-Aid.
Okay. Very good. Let's talk about the Disneyland Hotel, especially from your perspective, because you're a travel agent and I just want to go and explore that resort. So again, if you've not been, you've got 3 hotels. and it's Paradise Pier. It's California. I'm sorry. It's a Grand Californian, and it's the Disneyland Hotel. And they are building a wing, a DVC wing out there. It's not constructed just yet. And then the park itself is located in a very urban environment. So the actual park itself, you might be 500 feet from Harbor Boulevard. And Harbor Boulevard might be equivalent to a very large street in your community. But there's a Radisson. There's a Motel 6. There's a Candlelight Inn. And then there's a bunch of mom and pop, but larger than mom and pop, along with chains. And it's right there. They're across the street, as well as a Panera and as well as a Burger King and whatnot. So, like, the community is surrounded by good neighbor hotels, along with the three main resorts that are Disneyland resorts. Disneyland Hotel itself is situated where there's a tower, and then to the left, there's a tower, and then to the left, there's a tower. So it kind of makes this, like, little atrium. And in the middle, it's where you have Trader Sam's. It's where you have Tangaroa Terrace and where you have the pool structure. And it's kind of inside this, like, area that's kind of nestled. So, but I've never stayed in the Disneyland Hotel before. But we've walked around each individual tower, and each one is themed differently with park. And I don't want to say the word artifacts, but you kind of get what I'm going at.
Yeah.
Park memorabilia.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff along those lines. And it really makes for a really cool Disney fan experience. And you can walk inside the towers. But in terms of room quality, amenities, and overall, like, cleanliness and value for the dollar you spent, describe a little bit about that in terms of the Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, well, this was my first time at the Disneyland Hotel. I've been to Disneyland a few times, and we've always stayed at Good Neighbor Hotels. If you are looking for that in the bubble experience, I highly, highly, highly recommend now staying at one of the three on property. I'm using air quotes that no one can see, but those three hotels, because it's just a different experience. Of course, that comes at a premium price wise, but we were lucky in that we were our room was located in the Fantasyland Tower, which is the tower in the front where the lobby is. And I mean, the rooms were beautiful, Chris. I think their best feature is they have this headboard, which you think, like, oh, okay, why would I, you know, pay extra money for a headboard? And it's just one of the magical touches there, but it's massive. It takes up almost that whole wall where the beds are. And there's a switch to turn it on. And when you do that, it plays When You Wish Upon a Star. And the whole headboard, like, lights up, and it has a castle and fireworks. And I mean, I know if we went as a family and stayed there, my daughter Isla is 5 and she would be all about this. Even as a 39-year-old, I was all about it. But I always say they're great quality for the rooms there. They give you very nice robes. So Katie and I did enjoy the pool for a little bit on our second day. It was, like, borderline too cold to swim. But we did walk back to the hotel, which is easy to do. Actually, I think we took the monorail back. Super easy to do when you're that close. And just went down to the pool, and we hung out in bathrobes for a little bit by the pool before we started getting our step count up again. But, you know, you talked about Trader Sam's is right there. So that's a huge perk. And not that you have to be staying there to go to Trader Sam's, but it's definitely that in the bubble experience where it's very clean. The rooms were more spacious than I expected them to be. We had plenty of room. There was a couch in our room that pulled out as well. And then we had the two, I think they were queen beds. So, you know, my family of four would have been more than comfortable and would have fit really well there as well.
Okay. What is a sweet spot as far as travel? If someone wanted to, and again, this is, I mean, you're a travel agent, but if someone wanted to go and book a trip and were like, how many days? Is it like a 3-day trip? Is it a 5? Is it a 7? Because people go to Walt Disney World, very few go for a short trip. Most of them are week-long trips. What's the sweet spot in California?
I think it definitely depends on your touring style. I would recommend 3 days. We did most of the attractions. We did not do all of the attractions. And, you know, I think 3 days would give you that good balance. I've also done Disneyland. We've done it with our family as a 5-day trip. And I will tell you, by day five, as hardcore as we are, we are kind of like, meh, we've done a lot of this already. So okay. I think that 3-4 day mark is probably what you want to hit.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to share before we go get a refill of our coffee cups?
Right. I think that's about it for me. I mean, I can't wait to go back. I want to bring Isla and Brady. They haven't been since 2019. So Isla was 2 at the time. And I just think it would be a great experience for her, especially with those character interactions being what they are there, to go back and visit there. So if you're on the bubble about thinking about going there, definitely take the leap. And it's because it can be a 3-4 day experience, it's probably not as overwhelming as, you know, the week or so you would spend in Disney World. And you can easily combine it with a beach trip if you're there during warmer months.
Okay. Jen, we mentioned this, we alluded to this a few times, and Jen is a travel agent. We have a lot of travel agents in Epcot. Jen is a travel agent. If you found the connection with Jen and you like how she tours the parks and you have more questions, you need more information, what's the best way to get a hold of you? Give us some information on that.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. My email is jen@tripstothemouse. So trips is in plural because you're never going to take one, right? So tripstothemouse.com. And then I also have a Facebook page for my travel business, which is Jen Trips to the Mouse and You Pack, We Plan. So I do, obviously, I'm a Disney enthusiast. I do a lot of Disney travel, but I also do travel to cruise line travel and all-inclusive travel as well. So that's that You Pack, We Plan side of the business. And I'm pretty active on Epcot. So if anyone has any questions there as well, I'm always happy to answer.
So for listening today, we appreciate it. We hope we made you laugh, smile, maybe piqued your interest to exploring California parks. So for my friend Jen and for myself, I'd like to thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Bye, everyone.